Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory. Kittle is going to go. Touchdown.
Close has got him and a sack him back inside the 30.
So I guess I do need to start off with a mea culpa, because over the last few pods, I've made it clear that I thought the pick was going to be Mac Jones, and that was based on what I was hearing. And it's an interesting dynamic, because I think people who have listened to the pod would know that I didn't really believe all of the Mac Jones stuff until last week. And so, you know, when you, I want to be delicate, because you do not want to burn your sources, but when you have sources and you talk to people and they tell you things and you trust those people, you tend to believe them, especially in situations where, you know, what you're hearing is in congruence with what you're seeing and what's being reported elsewhere. Like when Michael Silver says, you know, he basically reported on Friday that it's heavily everybody in the building or whatever. He's hearing from somebody that it's more than likely going to be Mac Jones. And that matches up with what I hear. And then you hear other people say it, and it's like, all right, there might actually be something to this. So I never came out and reported it. Because to report something like that, you needed a lot more solid. But I just had a feeling, I had my finger up in the wind, and my feeling was it was going to be Mac Jones. And I feel pretty comfortable saying that I'm not the only one who was given that message. And so I think the 49ers played a smokescreen. I know they put a smokescreen together. I know. You know, I'm not the only one. And then to hear Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch say they didn't tell anybody, you know, they didn't tell Jed York until Wednesday of this week. You know, it's just how it goes. And sometimes you're wrong, and I'm happy to admit that I'm wrong. And I think the 49ers made the right pick, because as you guys know, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, I think Trey Lance is the best pick for them at 3, just given the upside. And everything like that. So hopefully Kyle will come on here, so I don't have to keep rambling on, and we can have a discussion. But I think overall, oh, there he is.
Yeah, the problem is I'm trying to get this up on my computer so I don't sound like shit.
Yeah,
and it's not working out.
I'm having the same issue, which I just
realized. Cool. So locker room's just down.
You're coming through on my phone speaker, not my headphones. So I probably sound bad too.
Okay. This is a great idea. I'm glad we did this.
So if you're listening at home, what happens is there's an apparatus on our laptops that allows us to record through our podcasting equipment. But that is not working for either of us right now.
Party on, dude.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just going to do it.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. I'll hold my phone up to my face.
That's what I'm doing. It's like we're talking on the phone.
Sam Esfandiari says they went through the same thing.
Cool. I told the locker room guy we weren't going to locker room tonight. I totally forgot about that till now.
Kyle, what are your initial thoughts on the pick?
I think it's the right one. It's, I think, the best fit. And the 49ers are the best situation for a player like Lance, who may need, I don't know if he needs a season or 6 or 8 weeks or 3 weeks, however many weeks, to kind of get his NFL legs underneath him. But I have no doubt that a player with his level of talent and the football IQ that he is said to have will figure it out relatively quickly. The thing that jumps out to me, right, was 2017. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's first draft. And they pass on Deshaun Watson. They pass on Patrick Mahomes. And again, I don't want to relitigate the 2017 draft, but the theory was that they were going to go with Brian Hoyer and then C.J. Beathard in 2017, and they were going to sign Kirk Cousins in 2018 and move forward and put themselves in a position where they had this traditional kind of drop back and pass passer. And they were going to need, and we saw it really throughout the last four seasons, everything needs to be perfect around a quarterback like that if you're going to hang with the Green Bays and the Kansas Cities and even the Seattles and Arizonas and Los Angeles Rams. Everything needs to be perfect if you're going to have a traditional drop back and pass passer who isn't Tom Brady. And right. Frankly, nobody's going to be Tom Brady. So they took the swing in this draft. And again, maybe it doesn't work. Maybe Trey Lance isn't good, but that's not the point. The point is that they identified that they needed to level their offense up. And Trey Lance is a player who, on paper, as a draft prospect, checks all the boxes to take them to the level that Jimmy Garoppolo or Mac Jones or Kirk Cousins or Brian Hoyer or C.J. Beathard was never going to take them. And that is a good sign to me, because as we talked about when we thought it was going to be Mac Jones, it looked like they weren't adapting. They weren't right. growing beyond where the NFL was, you know, maybe as recently as 10 or 12 years ago. And the Lance pick to me signals that they are moving into the modern NFL, because as you laid out a bunch of times, this is a direction the NFL is going. You need a quarterback who's going to bail you out. And I just, as a football fan, am really excited to see what the ceiling is for Lance in this offense, because I do think he is such a good fit.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think about what the conversation was like just earlier this week in terms of the process, right? Because, tonight bared it out. Mac Jones lasted all the way to 15. Like, to trade up is just insane. Like, so trading up for a talent like Mac Jones is just a bad process. And it seemed like if they were going that direction, it was just sort of asinine to give up one of the biggest trade packages that's ever been given up to take a guy at 3 that you probably could have gotten, you know, at 6 or 7, which we thought. But it turns out all the smoke that, you know, Mac Jones was more highly regarded in the NFL circles than in the media turned out to be bullshit. And the 49ers could have had him at 12. So trading up for a guy that has an elite skill set and who's elite athletically, like, I don't think people understand how good of an athlete Trey Lance is. Like, he's not Lamar Jackson, and he's probably a touch less athletic than Justin Fields. But I think Trey Lance is going to be one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the league once he starts playing. And I don't know that Kyle Shanahan is necessarily going to make him a focal point of the running game like Lamar Jackson is in Baltimore. But, you know, we've said it a few different times. They're going to be, you know, third and short or, you know, goal to go situations where you can weaponize Trey Lance's running ability. And he's a really physical runner. I think he's a really natural runner, to borrow like the corny football cliche that people say, but like the guy is a football player. Like, he's not a quarterback running around. He like looks like a guy that is meant to run with the football. On top of everything he does as a passer, his ability to move, his ability to throw on the run, you know, and people talk about his accuracy, and I get that that's going to be an issue, and it's going to be something he's going to work on for sure. But I mean, as a 19-year-old, the guy completed 67% of his passes and didn't throw an interception in a pro style offense while being under center, calling out the protections, just doing a pretty advanced stuff just from a schematic and, you know, X's and O's standpoint. So I think it all makes a lot of sense. Now, I'm really curious to see how quickly Trey Lance can play, because, you know, everything you hear, and if you listen to JT O'Sullivan on the podcast that we dropped today, he said he thinks, based on what he watched on tape with Lance, that Lance could probably play right away. And so what Kyle Shanahan said regarding Jimmy Garoppolo was that, you know, it seemed on Monday with that weird press conference that we had, which did not This is a different conversation, but I'll push back on the fact that, like, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were smoke screening on Monday. Like, those dudes were just not comfortable, and it was very awkward, and they were weirdly defensive and combative. And so I
did. It is Oscar season.
It is. But having covered Kyle Shanahan, like, I've said this, like, I would love to play poker with him because I don't think he has a good poker face. And he was clearly uncomfortable on Monday. But anyway, on Monday, he said that comment about not being sure if anybody's going to be alive on Sunday, and he wouldn't guarantee Jimmy Garoppolo being on the team. You hear that, and it's like, okay, well, Jimmy Garoppolo's gone because they're taking Mac Jones. Well, now, you know, Kyle Shanahan basically apologized for saying that, and he said he called Jimmy Garoppolo, and he said, you know, he wouldn't, he's not ruling out the idea of trading Jimmy Garoppolo, but he said he wants to see Trey Lance on a practice field before he makes any decision about Garoppolo. So basically what that means is, you know, we don't know if there are going to be OTAs that Trey Lance is going to be able to attend next month and in June before training camp. But to me, it makes all the sense in the world just to keep Garoppolo, see what you have with Lance, and then if you're comfortable enough giving Lance an opportunity to win the starting job in training camp, then you have a healthy quarterback competition between a veteran and a really high-level rookie. And I think that's a pretty advantageous spot to be. And so everything we said about the process being bad with Mac Jones, just given that it's a different guy, it's Trey Lance, it's a much more talented player, albeit someone who's less quote-unquote, you know, pro-ready. And we don't even know if that's true. Yeah, maybe. But, like, I think it's the right pick for the 49ers. And I think given that they have a quarterback that if he's healthy in Garoppolo that they can field and be okay with, I just think it's a really good scenario for the 49ers to be in. So overall, just my take on the pick is that it's the right one, and it has really, there's a lot of potential there for them to hit a home run here and set themselves up for, you know, contending for Super Bowls for as long as Trey Lance is starting.
Shanahan said on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt tonight, it would be disappointing to not have Jimmy for this year. Went on to talk about all the good things Jimmy Garoppolo does when he's healthy. And I think the when he's healthy caveat is pretty important, because I think it's a big reason why this move was made. The other thing about the whole I can't guarantee anyone in the world is going to be alive on Sunday comment, I need a 30 for 30 just on that. about the circumstance. That's just an incredible thing to say. Like, you know when you panic in a situation and so you just lie outrageously to make the thing that you maybe did look not as bad?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, if you broke the cookie jar and your mom's like, hey, why did you break the cookie jar? You say, like, I didn't. By the way, I stole a car earlier. I don't know. I can't come up with a good example. But that's what that felt like to me.
We could hit up our guy, Eric Branch, because he asked him the question and do the 30 for 30. And Shanahan even said it in the press conference today. He was like, yeah, like, he likes messing with Branch. And
that's great.
So he was trying to mess with Branch, but it was just such a weird, like, I don't know. It just seemed like Shanahan was in a weird mood, and he was asked a question at the wrong time, and he was joking, but also, like, tired of answering stuff like that. And it just came out poorly. And he said, yeah, he apologized to Jimmy and called him immediately after. So, but it does deserve some extra attention.
But to his point, or to his, I mean, in fairness to Shanahan, he can't guarantee that.
Right.
But yeah, no.
Well, the other thing,
really, like, morbidly funny thing that happened in an otherwise really awkward presser.
And
it doesn't matter anymore.
I'm very, very curious because what Shanahan basically intimated, what he said on Monday, another thing he said was, you know, a lot of stuff can happen between now and Thursday. And that's just sort of a generic statement that coaches say. But it turns out a lot of stuff did happen. yesterday with Aaron Rodgers making it clear to the Packers that he didn't want to come back, and John Lynch picking up the phone and calling Brian Gutekunst and asking him about Aaron Rodgers, and then it being reported before the draft today that the 49ers were calling about Aaron Rodgers. And that report from Tom Pelissero came out before Adam Schefter's report saying that Rodgers had asked the Pack or told the Packers he wasn't interested in coming back. Like, the confluence of events leading up to the draft today was wild. Just like being on Twitter, seeing all these different things happen, seeing Jed York go on this crazy Twitter spree.
Crap.
It was so weird. On top of the Aaron Rodgers stuff, it was like, you and I were talking with Nick. We're like, all right, if the Niners trade for Aaron Rodgers, like, does it happen before they pick third? Do the Niners essentially draft the guy the Packers want? And mm-hmm. then is a trade coming? And, like, I guess it doesn't sound like there was any traction there. It doesn't sound like the Packers have any interest in trading Aaron Rodgers to the Niners. And I think the Niners had planned on drafting Trey Lance this entire time. So, but that was just a bananas development to have happen and be like, all right, so now we potentially have to brace for Aaron Rodgers coming to the Niners on top of like all the other craziness happening before this draft. It was wild. I was on tilt today because I just had no idea what to expect.
Do you think Jed York was hammered, right?
I mean, I saw the video of him talking with Trey Lance. I think he was just trolling in a very odd way.
Okay, so here's the deal. So he was definitely doing that because he knew that he wasn't going to have a pissed off fan base, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no chance he does all that stuff today if they were picking Mac Jones.
Yeah, I agree.
He's and that was definitely the first thing the fan base.
That was the first thing I thought, and I actually tweeted that. I was like, you know, like, Jed is not – like, that would just be an all-time terrible decision to start trolling the fan base.
Worse than the Thanksgiving tweet.
Oh, a million times worse. A million times worse. Because that's like a mistake, right? Like, just like you keep drama in-house. Like, that's just a PR mistake.
Right.
But, like, trolling the fan base – and then picking the guy that you know the fans absolutely do not want would just be bananas. And he didn't do that. So it was weird.
Can I tell you when I thought it was Lance?
Sure.
Because I had pre-written Mac Jones stuff only.
Right.
And not a lot, but enough. And I wasn't going to pre-write anything else, but this morning, I did a Justin Fields one too, but because I had started it a while ago and I just finished it. But on my way to work today, I see that Todd McShay comes off Mac Jones to mock Trey Lance to the Niners, which, I mean, maybe he did, so him and Kuiper had different picks at three, but I don't think he would just do that willy-nilly. And then shortly after that, Adam Schefter reports that chances are remote that the 49ers trade Jimmy Garoppolo. And those two things were the big alarm bells that went off in my head that said, you know, maybe it is, maybe Lance is the pick. Maybe it's not Jones.
Yeah. And there was also the element of the betting odds swinging drastically, right? Like, there was a point, I want to say it was like 11 or 12, that the betting odds all of a sudden shifted to Lance. And that might have been a product of Mike Silver tweeting that he's hearing a lot of Lance buzz. It was just a wild morning. And it was like, do I write this? Like, do I blog about Aaron Rodgers and what, like, or do I just hold on it? Do I just sit on it and like write about it and later? And you know, I mentioned it as like a note in the big write up that's coming out Friday morning for the Sack B, but it was just unprecedented. Like, I couldn't even wrap my mind around the idea that like this draft that we've been talking about for so long and that was so important and so like controversial
was going to result in the 49ers trading for Aaron Rodgers just completely out of the blue. Like that, like it was mind blowing to me. And so it didn't end up happening, but yeah, it was a crazy day. And I think people are going to like Trey Lance based on the, you know, 10-minute Zoom call we had with him and everything else I've heard about him from a personality standpoint. I really do think people are going to like him. And I think he's got potential to be a star here.
It was really interesting. I believe his first name's Jeff. Jeff Kolpak. He's a North Dakota State beat writer. He was on 95.7 The Game, the show I produce. I don't talk about my other job that much, but I do produce a radio show in San Francisco for 95.7 The Game. And we had Jeff Kolpak on. He's an NDSU beat writer. And he talked about Trey Lance and how much bigger of a locker room presence he was than Carson Wentz.
Oh,
and how people just gravitate toward him in a way they didn't with Wentz. Not to say that Wentz was like a bad dude, but that Lance was just on, because Wentz was like a number two pick. He was a stud and well thought of, but Lance was just on this like different plane than Wentz in that regard. And I thought that was really, really interesting to go along with everything everybody says about, you know, his character and all that. And then, like you said, in his Zoom call today, it was saying all the right things, but not the cookie cutter answers.
Yeah,
I think. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, he has a presence about him and he says things that you feel like are genuine.
Right.
And I did see a little bit of Mac Jones presser, and it seems like he's going to fit perfectly in Bill Belichick's organization. Put it that way.
just an unseasoned potato of a human. just a guy. He said he secretly wanted to go to the Patriots the whole time. Didn't want to go to the 49ers. And it's like, sure. Well, cool, man. You went 12 picks later. Congrats.
I'd have to look, but I think
Michael.
Yeah, I'd have to look. I think like he lost. I mean, if the difference in going in 3 and going 15, I think is like $10 or $12 million. So I don't really believe him when he says that.
It's like Mac Jones is a Patriot. Yeah, no, we know.
I really enjoyed your tweet when you tweeted that. So, but yeah, we've talked so much about this. I don't have a whole lot more to say about it. I'm kind of burnt out. We just wanted to hop on here and make this sort of a quick one. So we will dive into the draft a little bit more. Do you have any day two draft takes you want to fire off before we jump out of here?
Elijah Molden from Washington. That's Nick Wagner from ESPN turned me on to that guy. And I watched him, and I was immediately all about him. I jumped on board the Elijah Molden train. I just think he really has a tenacity to his game that would fit really nice in the Niner secondary.
Do you think he can play outside corner, or is he limited?
I don't think so.
Not limited, but do you think he's a middle-of-the-field guy?
I think he's a middle-of-the-field guy. And I think putting him outside is kind of not allowing him to fully utilize his skill set.
Yeah, I do wonder how they'll approach that, right? Because, you know, they don't necessarily need a middle-of-the-field guy, given they have Jimmy Ward and, you know, Jaquaski Tartt and Tre'Davious Moore and Kaywan Williams. But it would make a lot of sense to get a guy that you could play safety next to Jimmy Ward. Like, if, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but I have a feeling that the Niners might be more interchangeable with their safeties than they've been. So if it is somebody like Molden, I could see him maybe sliding into Jaquaski Tartt's strong safety role, and then maybe it allows them to get creative with, you know, three safeties on third down, which they've done a lot of. So yeah, I think that's a very interesting pick. I'll be honest, I haven't grinded much tape on day two and day three guys.
Ground?
I haven't done
grind the tape. That's weird. Grinded.
I haven't done either. So, but no, I think, I mean, they're going to add to the secondary in this draft. Obviously they're going to add to the receiving core. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they took a running back at some point, maybe a linebacker, maybe a tight end. I don't know. They have 8 more picks, but the big deal coming out of this draft is they got a quarterback, and they got one that is not like Kirk Cousins, is not like Matt Ryan, and is definitely not Mac Jones, thankfully. Because I've written about it a lot, and you know, it's like you just.
I don't know if anyone heard the last 2 pods. We weren't super thrilled at the Mac Jones idea.
Well, I just didn't want to.
I don't know if that came across.
You know, it's tough, man. Like, I don't want to have to fight with Kyle Shanahan on Zoom in front of like everybody who watches those pressers. Like, I'm obviously not going to win that conversation. But it's still just a problematic process if you trade 3 firsts for Mac Jones.
Hey,
we don't need to do it.
We never need to talk about it again.
We don't. But but yeah, so now we get the Trey Lance thing. I like the Trey area.
That's great.
Marketing material. I think that's good.
I think a bunch of people did it, but I think I saw Keanu Martin from the Niners tweet it first, and I thought that was great. So,
yeah.
Who do you like? Real quick, we got to get going here. It's late, but what? Who do you like on day 2?
I don't know, a corner or receiver.
Out of bed.
Round 2 and 3. I'm burnt out.
Yeah.
I'm just ready to write about the guys I get. I don't have
only 6 more rounds.
Yeah, only 6 more rounds. I don't have any takes. I'm not gonna like.
Here's a day 2 and 3 take. Since we probably won't pot again until Monday.
Oh, is that true?
I don't know. Producing live. Here we go. Anyways, I think that we see the 49ers trade up a couple times where they walk away with maybe like 5 or 6 guys from this class rather than the 9 picks they have,
and trade in the next year's draft.
Yeah, maybe. Like, okay, maybe even trade back a couple times to try and get a couple picks next year. But I also foresee them trading up and maybe targeting a few guys. Like, they have 3 fifth round picks; they can use a couple of those and move up in you know, the 3rd or 4th round.
I do have a guy who I did do a tiny bit of work on, Asante Samuel Jr. Somebody I like a lot.
Yeah.
So you're probably
Asante Samuel's son.
Yes, definitely. you're probably not getting Molden and Samuel, so it's going to be one of the 2.
Right.
So yeah, Asante Samuel is somebody that that I think could be good.
Right on.
All right.
We'll pot again soon, I guess.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. We will pot again soon. Thanks for hanging out with us for this short one. Subscribe, rate, and review to Candlestick Chronicles wherever you get your podcasts. We will figure out the situation with the sound quality and locker room, hopefully. And we will talk to you guys later on.